I'd like to call the meeting to order. This is the Monday, May 13, Committee of the Whole meeting. My name is Don Cummings. I am Second Ward Alderman along with Rich Marks, Second Ward being Randall Square, Sterling Manor, and Eaglebrook. If you're curious about your ward map, it is on the city website. May I have a motion? One change. May I have an amendment, a change to the agenda to remove the closed session agenda item?
So moved. Whoops.
Did you second it?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion passes. Do I have a motion to consider the consent agenda? Alderman Marks.
Point of order. We have to call the conflict of order. Having called the conflict of order.
Call the what?
Oh, the committee of the meeting order. I guess I'm just looking at who's present.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let the record show that all the aldermen are present.
Except for Mr. Alderman Brown.
Chuck Brown's missing.
Okay. Except for Alderman Brown. Item number three, approved committee of the whole minutes from April 22 and the special committee of the whole minutes from April 29.
We had to finish item two.
I apologize.
They're so picky.
So I'll second it.
So picky.
Yeah, you have a first.
You got a first. I'll go second.
On the consent. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Now you can skip number three.
Okay, on to number four. Number four, special items and presentations. Letter A, to recognize the Geneva High School Skills USA participants.
We have a number of participants with us this evening, don't we? Now, who's the spokesperson for the entire clan? Ah, welcome. The podium is yours. Would you mind joining us?
I will join you.
And, of course, your name is so unique that I know I'm going to butcher it, but it's Jankovic.
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 Right.
Is it spelled just like it sounds?
J-A-N-K-O-V-I-C.
Now, you and I have corresponded.
Yes.
Yes, regarding this.
Yes.
All the excitement.
Yes, but Lisa Stone isn't here tonight.
Well, that's good.
Okay.
Because I made a mistake on you.
Okay.
And I corrected it.
Okay, yeah, I know you did.
I know, and you laughed at me.
I know.
Via email.
It's okay. It's okay. I know, it's been a long day, right?
I know, it was like, oh, God.
Okay.
I think I responded to you like at 2 in the morning saying, whoopsie daisy, sorry about that.
That's all right, no problem.
But you have some stars with us this evening.
We do have stars, all right. Skills USA is an organization for career and technical education, and it started out in 1965 as VICA. Which is vocational education. So it encompasses lots of different areas, anything from firefighting to child development to cosmetology to culinary arts, and we participate in culinary arts, technical drafting, and commercial baking. And in order for the students to qualify for state competition, which is held in April in Springfield, in February, they need to take a written knowledge test about their particular area and also about business practices and running a business meeting and about the Skills USA organization. And they only take the top 16 in the state in culinary and commercial baking. In the technical drafting area, they take about 50. So we have done very well this year. And we have several people who went down to state. And one participant is Kyle Kellogg, and he is not here tonight. He had other obligations, busy high school students, okay?
Other obligations.
So he regrets that he could not attend. But our first participant and contestant in technical drafting is Colin Merritt. Kyle, you want to come up?
Check, check, check. Colin Nerig.
Colin Nerig.
Yeah.
Welcome, man. I'm going to come down near you because I've got a special gift for you. It's free tuition.
taxpayers paying for.
Of course, you're going to be.
That's all. Well, thank you. Now you've got. Now you started something.
Of course, you're going to be homeschooled at my place. But now, Colin, you're on TV, big guy. Do you know that?
No.
There's a television camera right here, and then there's one behind you as well. So, what's your better side? Come up to the podium and say hello to everybody.
Hello.
And you're and oh, well said. Tell us about yourself.
What do you mean?
This is all good, man. See the police behind you? They're here for a good reason, man. Don't even get nervous. What grade are you in?
I'm a senior.
You're a senior. And I understand you went to Harrison Street Elementary School.
Yeah.
And then off to Geneva Middle School?
North.
Northy.
That no, yeah, the north one.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Now, where are you going next year?
Northern.
You are? And yeah. You're going to study?
Mechanical engineering.
Mechanical engineering. Man, what do you want to do with that?
I don't know yet.
Well, that's impressive, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
All right.
Did you go to prom this year?
No.
No? I heard it was miserable. We have a certificate for all those who are recognized downstate. And this is pretty cool. Colin Nehrig. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yeah.
You have dignitaries with you this evening as well? Family, friends?
Yeah.
Did they meet your mom and dad already?
I think so. They were sitting next to me.
You're really proud of them, aren't you? Do you want to introduce anybody else?
No.
You're looking forward to getting out of Geneva, aren't you, man?
No.
Are you going to live on campus or live at home and commute?
On campus.
Smart move, dude. We have a certificate that reads, "The City of Geneva is proud to recognize the talker, Colin Nehrig." In honor of your accomplishments in the state of Illinois, SkillsUSA technical drafting. Correct?
Yeah.
The City of Geneva is proud to recognize you and your talents in representing Geneva High School and the City of Geneva presented this 13th day of May, 2013. Check that out, man. Pretty nice folder comes in, huh?
Yeah.
Sure, that's it?
Yeah.
Do you know my brother Brian, the English teacher?
Yes, I think so. I think he is my English teacher.
You think he's your English teacher?
Yes.
Well, how often do you go to class? It's like, stick with the technical drawing, man. So,
that's why I do computers.
That's why you do it. People. I'll tell Brian you say hi. Okay, thank you for being with us. Wow, who's next, huh? How do you top that?
Our next participant and contestant is Amy Randall.
Oh, I met Amy earlier.
And Amy competed. She came out her written test. She came out seventh in state, and they take the written test and the technical test, and they put a technical competition and put it together. She had a five-hour baking competition. She had to make everything from scratch, a cookie, a yeast bread, a quick bread. She worked with some puff pastry. What else? What did I miss?
Muffins.
And she had to make muffins, okay? And she had to have it and present it all within 5 hours, and that 5 hours goes pretty fast. And Amy is only a sophomore.
Oh.
Okay. So she's got a couple years to get up to number one. And she came out 14th in state. So
congratulations.
She was the youngest contestant.
Samples.
She was the youngest contestant in the state. Yep.
Now do you have your driver's license yet?
No.
When do you get that?
August.
August what?
August 1st.
Woo! And your parents said earlier you're getting a car?
I got one already.
Oh. Seriously?
Yeah, I bought it.
Oh, you bought it? You sold all the muffins? What kind of car do you have?
1974 F-350.
Good for you.
Is that good?
Yeah, she bought it.
I had a two-tone Chevette. Still have it. Do you care to share your license with the police officers behind you, or do you want to just wait till you actually get your license?
August 1st.
August 1st, you can do that. Yeah, you can come back and share it. The chief's about to write it down. Look at that. So what's your specialty? What's your favorite thing to prepare?
I don't know. I just like to cook in general, especially pastries, anything sweet.
And you brought some samples this evening?
Mm. They're in my stomach already.
Dude. Sophomore. Do you know Liam Burns?
I know Aiden Burns.
Do you know Aiden?
Yeah.
Yeah, my nephew, man. He's a good kid. Awesome. Okay, thanks. What else do we know about you? Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have a younger brother.
Do you?
Yeah.
Is he proud of you?
I hope so.
I'm sure he is. Is he here tonight?
No. He's at Boy Scouts, so
oh,
it's okay.
Oh, he is? Okay. That's it. So ultimately, what do you want to do in life? Do you want to be a pastry chef?
I kind of like to eat more of a hobby,
okay.
Just because it's a really demanding,
oh yeah,
demanding life. So I'm actually looking more into being an architect.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know Chef Roby by any chance?
No.
From the All Chocolate Kitchen?
Oh, yeah, I've met him.
Yeah, he's a world-renowned pastry chef.
Yeah.
You got to cruise down there, man. I bet you get a discount.
They have good ice cream.
They do have good ice cream. As does Graham's and Dairy Queen and every other place that serves ice cream.
Mr. Mayor, maybe she can do what Chef Roby did because, you know, he did that all chocolate or all sugar
rendition
of a...
You could do like a huge statue of Tom Rogers. Imagine? That's the principle.
Yeah, I know.
Now, Amy, I forgive me, but there's a mistake on here. So I will redo it and I'll deliver it to the high school tomorrow.
Okay.
But it says here you won the award in the commercial banking competition. Isn't that something?
Yeah, I like money.
We've let go of that. The person who prepared these is no longer with us. So my mother can find other work to do. But it reads very similar to Collins, except for that error.
Right.
But I will deliver a new one to the high school tomorrow. And I apologize for that.
Okay.
Would you want this one just for fun? You can put it on Facebook and say, look at what a moron the mayor is.
Sure.
I get that a lot.
Or it's just
but
funny.
I spelled the first name right.
Yeah, that's
A-M-I-E.
Usually
that's cool.
Doesn't happen.
What's your
good.
Middle name?
Brianna.
Brianna. Anything else you'd like to say?
As of August, stay off the sidewalks.
Sidewalks? Who's your teacher?
Ms. Jankovic.
Not for driver's ed. Okay. Wow. Well, Amy, congratulations. We're very proud of you.
Thank you.
Very proud.
All right, in the culinary arts, which is savory food, we had two participants this year. And the first participant that we have is Alex. Alex, come on up. And Alex placed fourth in written test, and then he placed sixth in overall competition when they took all those scores and put them together.
Wow.
And Alex is a junior.
So this is like that TV show you watch, and do they openly provide constructive criticism as to what you prepared?
No, they don't.
They do not?
Nope, they just kind of go, okay, you placed sixth.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they don't give you any information.
Do you intentionally like add like nasty ingredients and some of the stuff?
They don't have any extra ingredients.
No, nothing, huh?
Nope.
And what was your specialty?
Just in general that I cook. I mainly cook Asian food. But
oh, you do?
Yeah.
Hmm. Really?
Yeah.
What's wrong, Olivia?
No, he's good at making sushi.
Oh, you're a sushi guy. No
yes,
kidding.
Yes, I am.
Do you catch your fish from the fox? Or?
No, I prefer the sea.
You prefer the sea, do you?
Yes.
And I trust you have a favorite sushi restaurant, which you probably shouldn't say on the air. Is it Geneva-based?
No, I don't really have a favorite sushi restaurant.
Good answer. Do you make dinner and stuff for your family?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah? Your girlfriend?
No. Not yet.
Very good. And you're
keep
a junior.
Cooking.
Yep.
Keep cooking.
You will.
Yeah. Do what I do. Domino's. So you're a junior, man.
Yep.
Life is good?
Pretty good.
And ultimately, your career is going to take you where? What do you want to do?
I'm going to be a material scientist and research in carbon-based
that's
structures.
Enough. That's enough. That's enough. You lost me, and I'm going to be.
Carbon-based what?
So you want to study materials?
Yeah.
For the application of products and goods? Or
yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Cooking's just a hobby.
No kidding. And ultimately, what do I want to do with that career?
Try to create new batteries from carbon materials.
Ah, okay. And is there a school specifically for that that you're focusing on now?
No, not necessarily. I'm still looking.
Are you?
Yep.
Wow. Have you taken the ACT and everything already?
Yeah.
What did you get, like a 92 or something?
Yes, I
you
did.
You did.
Yep, I scored extra credit.
Did you get a perfect score?
I did.
You got a perfect score in the ACT? I took it twice, and my combined scores don't equal the perfect score, which is actually the sad truth. No kidding. So you get that back, it's like, look, I did, let's go baking? I mean, let's go make some Asian food to celebrate? What do you do?
I play some video games in celebration.
That is awesome, man. And a perfect score is 22, right?
Yes, it is.
But I got a perfect score? Well, Alex, man, that is really impressive, dude. This is for you, big guy. Alex Kelm, look at that.
Thank you.
Isn't that nice?
Yep.
Your enthusiasm is overwhelming. Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Thank you. Perfect score. God, now I'm depressed. We'll okay. All be working for Alex someday.
Our last participant is Olivia Black. And when they score this, the chefs with big, tall hats come around and they have a clipboard. And they come around and they check the students. It's called mise en place. It means everything in place. They check their, which is organization. They check their sanitation. They check to see how much they put in the scrap bucket. Then they check their flavor. They check what their knife cuts look like, all right? And they go through it with a fine-tooth comb, and they watch, and they watch, and they watch. And Alex was right. The kids don't necessarily always get a lot of feedback from them because we don't see the scores. We only see who got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and the ranking. That's all that we get. But Miss Olivia Black is the top SkillsUSA teen chef in the state of Illinois. Will be going to Kansas City, Missouri from June 24th to June 29th. We don't know what we're making yet because they haven't let us know.
You don't find out until you arrive?
We'll find out before that, but we haven't found out yet. But she will be competing against other first place winners from all across the United States. And this is the first time that Geneva has had a first place winner in culinary or commercial baking. So that's a pretty big honor for us, for the high school, and for our culinary program. Olivia also, you should know, and we're going to put a plug in for what you do for volunteering. She volunteers at Fox Valley Food for Health, and they're having their big fundraiser this Friday. Mm-hmm. So she can maybe tell you a little bit more about that. But the lady who is in charge of this, Susan Lee, tells me all the time, when Olivia cooks fish, that's when they get the biggest compliments from the patients, from the cancer patients who she cooks for and preps for. So it is my honor to present Olivia Black, the top number one SkillsUSA teen chef in the state of Illinois.
Wow.
Thanks.
Now, according to all the press articles you received and all the attention, you just recently started cooking. Correct or incorrect?
Incorrect.
Excellent. I never trust the papers.
But yeah, I've been cooking.
You've always dabbled.
I was little.
Mom and Dad allow you to hang out in the kitchen and do whatever you wanted.
They've taught me a lot in the kitchen, so.
Now, are you two also skilled chefs yourself?
No. They just like to cook.
Just wow. So what was the meal you made?
I made a shrimp Caesar salad, a whole roasted chicken, potato and parsnip puree, sautéed broccoli and carrots, and then cheesecake mousse with berries. And that was a three-hour competition. And you had a plate. You had to have four plates of everything.
Oh, really? For the sampling from the judges and
yep,
what have you?
Yep.
Wow. Don't they serve that often in the cafeteria at Geneva High School?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. And how long have you lived in Geneva, Olivia?
For about 10 years.
No kidding. And what elementary school did you attend?
Heartland.
Heartland. Then off to middle school?
South.
Southies. Take that, Northie. Where are you? You're somewhere? Wow. And what year in school are you?
I'm a senior.
You are a senior. So next year you're heading to?
Ball State University. And I'm going to be studying food management.
You are. Okay. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they have a great program for that.
Yeah, they do.
They do. So ultimately, what would you like to do with your talents then?
I'm not sure yet. I definitely something with food and cooking, but not necessarily I want to be a chef. Like Amy said, it's very demanding.
But maybe I own a restaurant or?
Something like that. I'm not sure yet.
I can see it blocks. That'd be cool, wouldn't it? Or Olivia's or?
Something like that.
Yeah. Did you get a perfect score in your ACT as well?
No. Did not.
Brothers and sisters?
Yep. My one sister, Megan, is here.
Oh, hey, Megan. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
And then I have two older brothers, Nolan and Trevor.
Ah, are they in school?
One is, yeah. And then one. Trevor just got home yesterday for the summer.
Wow, so you got the whole house full this summer.
Uh-huh.
Wowzer. Your mom's videotaping the whole thing. And we can get you a DVD if you'd like. It's over $1,000. You can put that on your tax bill. Is that okay? Your parents didn't answer that. What else should we know about you? Other than extraordinary. First time ever in Geneva history. So you've really set the standards.
Kind of. Mm-hmm.
Now, we have a certificate for you,
okay.
Also in the commercial banking industry. I'm kidding, Amy. Look at that, huh?
Thank you.
And I also have something else for you, if you don't object.
No, I don't object.
You don't object?
No.
When people come to town, Olivia, they're going to see this sign at all the locations in honor of your accomplishments.
Oh, my God.
Located in Kankakee and elsewhere because we just have the space. But isn't that awesome? Isn't that great? So what do you think?
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? This is going to be on your Facebook page, isn't it?
Probably.
Well, those will be put up ASAP. We'll make the appropriate number, if we will, for the key intersections leading in the town. And they are up for at least a year.
Thank you.
And then when we take them down, we just throw them away. We'll make sure you get one.
Thank you very
okay?
much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I can barely read it myself.
Thank you. Okay. The next item of business is to recognize CASA Kane County's 25th anniversary. Is Gloria? No? Somebody's here from... Okay.
Yay, you're here. Wasn't that pretty cool? You're standing next to a state champion.
I want to take my picture.
Isn't that something?
I can say I knew her when.
I know.
That's amazing.
Congratulations to everybody.
And all in happening in Geneva.
Isn't that
right
wild?
Right here in this hometown.
The greatest dinner ever following this meeting, I'll tell you.
And all about food. That's what
I know. We're all hungry now.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Everyone's familiar with CASA, I presume,
well,
or should be. Students in the audience, does everyone know what CASA is, the acronym CASA? It's one of the most important, I think, not-for-profits that exist and certainly are called Geneva Home. But please share with us
CASA
all the important
stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates. We advocate for all the abused and neglected children that come into the court system that are being taken out of their home because of abuse and neglect and going into the foster care system. And because of all the money that we earn, we get, unfortunately, we don't get federal, state, or state funding, but we get about a third of our budget from grants, about a third from events, and the other third from private donations. Our budget's about $1 million, but we're very fortunate that we serve 100% of the children that come into the court system. There is not a child that comes into the court system that does not get assigned to CASA. And the judges that are in the courthouse, we're right in the courthouse on 3rd Street, and the judges that we work with are extremely happy that we are available. All of our CASAs are volunteer. We currently have 264 CASAs, and we serve 556 children.
Very impressive group.
Absolutely.
May we get your name, please?
Sure. I'm sorry. I'm Lori Hewitt. I'm the Director of Development.
Thank you.
Fundraising lady.
I'm the fundraising lady.
Important job.
Yep.
Now, we have Geneva residents who are CASAs.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, quite a few.
Extraordinary work.
Yep. So we're very fortunate that we've been here 25 years, and we'll be here another 25 and another 25, and I won't be here another 25, but we'll keep going because the kids need our voice, and we want to make sure the children in the court system have a voice.
And I know that the Geneva's Mental Health Board provides funding to CASA, mm-hmm. as do a number of other not-for-profits who provide grant monies. So
yeah, we're very fortunate.
Extraordinary work.
So.
And the certificate or the proclamation is being also honored by other communities tonight.
Yes, we have about 14 communities that are all going to be doing a proclamation for us celebrating our 25th.
Awesome. So I'm going to ask for a motion in a second on that.
May I get a motion, please, to recognize CASA Kane County's 25th anniversary?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank
Great.
You very
Thank
much.
Thank you very much.
Yay, Lori.
Yay!
If anyone's ever looking to volunteer, CASA is a great place to do so. Because you not only touch children's lives, you impact them forever.
Yes. We make a major difference in the life of a children. Yeah, look at this.
Oh, my gosh. It'll give you a sign, though. I can't see that. Can you put that thing there?
Sure, no problem.
Oh, is it photo time?
Oh, photo time.
Holy God.
Got to have it for our website.
Let's make sure we don't have a block sign back there, for God's sake.
Well, you know, we should take a picture and put that on our sign. We can say we got our award the same night as you.
Yeah.
Kind of fun.
I just couldn't afford a good folder. There we go.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right.
Time out.
Photo time. He does this to me all the time.
Okay, not just one.
Good. Thank you.
Good to see you.
Next item of business is item C, recognized Geneva Beautification Committee volunteers.
And there's a bunch of them. Alderman Flanagan. Look how proudly she stands up in the back there.
Well, first of all, I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Dorothy Flanagan, Alderman for the 4th Ward, except I'm also a chairperson for Geneva Beautification, along with Sherry Weidel. She's my co-chair. And I'd like to kind of give a little bit of start my discussion first right now. Paul Dakota planted a seed, and we now have hundreds of volunteers flourishing to keep Geneva beautiful. I want to thank all the volunteers that have come out tonight to be recognized. So if everybody could stand up, who's part of Geneva Beautification? This is just a handful. This is just a handful of people. We have over 300 volunteers. I'm not going to read off their names tonight, but I will, why don't I start with Jim Corfield. Jim Corfield is our person who does the purchasing, and Jim is retiring from our group, and he also is a coordinator. He coordinates all of the plantings. We have three plantings a year, and Jim will be retiring, but Tom Bloor, who's right in front of him, will be taking over the coordination of the planting days. Then we have Sally Upham. She does all of our artwork and all of our brochures, all of our signs, etc. Then we have. Do you want to raise up your hand? The Edwards, Dan and Roberta. They do. Roberta does the secretary for our group. They do all the thank you letters, and I'll tell you, they've been doing a lot of them this year because of the donations we've been receiving, which is really great. And Dan is her secretary. That's what I call Dan. Does a great job. Then I know Jay Moffitt. He does our trash pickup along with Alderman Maladra. He's the second, he's the backup trash pickup. That's a really important job, I want to tell you. We would have bags of yard waste around the city if it wasn't for Jay or Craig to do the job for us. So, along with a lot of other things, you do sponsor a garden, you're part of my committee. And all those people that I mentioned so far are part of my main committee. Then there's Mary and Jim Gehring in the back, and they do. Mary is a captain, and Jim Gehring does the firewood. So if you purchase firewood from us, he's the man who delivers it. He's the man with a bunch of other gentlemen that call grandpas in play, not grandmas, but grandpas in play, that actually split the wood, and it's recycled. So. And it helps our cause, so it's one of the fundraisers that we do in the fall. So what I'm going to do, and I don't recognize all of the gardeners. I recognize Janice and Lucetti, and I recognize Jenna Rolleriel and McNeil, Kathy McNeil. But I'm sorry, I don't remember all of you. So if you can just yell out your names, I would really appreciate it. Why don't you start? You're from GWIB, right? Web. And you can just tell the organization or the garden that you're adopted.
Janet Ray, Eastside Gardeners. Barb Leonard, Master Gardeners. Charlene Reynolds, Master Gardener. Catherine Harrington, Master Gardener.
Esther?
Esther Steele, Just Our Group. Just
Our Group. Along with Karen Maladra and Vivian Wissing. Okay. Very good. And if I may?
Oh, Darlene Fish, and this is my sister Debbie Reeves, who is the Geneva resident. We take care of the property.
Happy resident.
Great. Well, I thank you very much, really. Thank you very much for all your work. Thank you, everyone. Even for those who have pulled a weed or dug in one of our gardens, planted a flower, or spread mushroom compost, to our Public Works street crew that have handled our planting, our planters, watered our gardens, and allow us to drive a truck. And I fail to forget to mention Dana. She's in charge of our Geneva High School horticulture. She's the coordinator. She's the area captain. She coordinates with them. So. All of the work that they do.
And I, just one word, I think I can
Don't
speak
leave.
Loudly enough, but Tom Anderson, who is the horticulture teacher at Geneva High School, could not be here tonight because he had an earlier obligation, but he and his students really do a lot. It's amazing, and it's fun. Thank you.
Great, thank you. So I said I wanted to thank Public Works Street Crew. I want to thank all the families, friends, organizations, and businesses that have adopted a garden, sponsored a garden. We have about 300, like I mentioned, and just those who have just made a donation. As you know, we purchase our own flowers. We need each and every one of you to make Geneva beautiful. Our flowers are truly icing on the city of Geneva. And what I'd like to do is start some photos here, if I can. And some of these are pictures that were actually from 1993, one of the first meetings that we've had. Some of the people in the audience, of course, were not there. But, okay. How come I'm having difficulty? I'll just do it this way. This is Paul Dakota. This is one of our first meetings. If you'll notice that City Hall was a lot different then, back then, than it is now. Christine Jeffries was our economic development director, and she and Paul were instrumental in getting this organization off the ground. We're now celebrating our 20 years. Jan Little is the landscape architect who designed the knuckles, and those what are those, that's what we call those protrusions that you see on the street. And you'll see a number of different slides. And while this is going on, I would like to actually recognize some of my former past committee members. Jenny Russo, who used to be our past fundraising chair, Marv Hosman, who was the original Geneva High School horticultural liaison. He also was instrumental in working with the Eagle Scout project to make the new boxes on the bridge. Lance Mitchell, who worked along with Jim Gehring. He moved out of town, and they were instrumental in getting the firewood fundraising going. Laurie Kuntz, who was coordinating the Pasta for Posies. The Hillaries, who were doing the watering, were part of our watering schedule. I would like to also mention that the Eastside Gardeners, that was a project that was started by Carolyn Zinke. She's not here tonight, but as you heard, there were several people out there who were part of the group. Chris Goulet, Cookie Olson, who's part of our group, and she also is an adopts the garden in town. Darby McCullion, she does our marketing, T-shirts, brochures. She works along with Sally Upham. Elfie Gabriel, she was the first one who designed our webpage. And now Molly Sabatino does it. She's the current webmaster. We know about Jay Moffitt, Esther Barclay Steele. Let me keep going on here. Mary Kay Brown, she does our planter coordination. She is a liaison between the businesses that are in town and where to place some of the planters in town. Mitzi Stark, she comes and does our minutes. Mary and Rick Sturm, and Rick is the one who actually coordinates the planters. And that's it. For now, for those, but those, but and some of those people like Mary Gehring, she's a area captain, and then there's Sally Upham, she's another. I'm not Sally Upham. Sherry Weidel, she's an area captain, and then we have Roberta, she's an area captain, and Mary Kay Brown, she's another area captain. So what we have is we have area captains, and then we have the individual gardens who have their own captains. And I'm just going to read off some of the gardens. The Eastside Neighborhood Garden, we have about 40 in town, if everybody doesn't know exactly how many we have. The Geneva High School Horticultural Classes, they handle the bridge and 3rd and 31. The Harrington, Mill Creek Elementary School, PTO. Arbizani family right in front of the Little Owl. The Sperber family, the Rotary Club, Lieben Financial Planning, Laurie Kuntz and Friends, Reith and Lundeen family, Pete Olson Landscaping and Tim Nelson Architect, Geneva Tire and Auto, Geneva Public Schools, that's Cookie Olson, who actually is the captain of that one. Then we have the library, which is done by Karen Maladra, Esther Barclay Steele, and Vivian Wissing. High Medium Graphic Design, that's done by Bob and Julie Hillary. Then we go on to State Street in front of the Old Town Pub. We have Mary Ann Nass, Irene Deanna, Linda Hosman. Then we go in front of the Hulsa, and that's Ellen Bassett, Patty Bennett, Roberta Edwards, and Carol Griffin. We have Penny Anderson, who does the Legion, Caldwell Banker, who does in front of the Unitarian Church, Starbucks, the Master Gardeners, the U of I Extension Master Gardeners, Geneva Garden Club, which will be in front of the State Street Jewelers, James Street Homeowners Association, that's in front of the All Chocolate Kitchen, GWIB, they're across from that, Knights of Columbus, that's on 3rd and State, Tom Bloor and Sally Arnold, they're in front of the 302, or now called Evenflow, Misella Real Estate, and it's Patty Rambo, who's the captain of that one, and she does it in front of the post office. Then the Lions Club have the rest of the post office. Then we have Reitz, Mike and Debbie Reitz, who do the small garden in front of the post office. Remke Sharp, done by Kay Yotes, who is in the audience. The Geneva High School, the high school students, and family and friends. There's a little memorial thing going on with Janice Luchetti and her group, and that's on 4th and State, and they redid that whole area. We have the Geneva Mothers Club. We have the Geneva Academic Foundation. We have the Harrison Street School. We have Charles Balick, a dentist. Geneva High School, again, horticultural classes. Mary Kay Brown, John Rogers, Laurie Mazensbring. They do that in front of. There's all sorts of pictures here, aren't they cute? We have Darby McCullen, Rochelle Gobitz, and Colleen Hubbe, Karen Pointer and Dee Solon, Humphreys and Morgan families, the Ferris families, the Olive Mill, and Kelly Nowak and Leslie Juby. So those are only a few of the 300 volunteers that we have, and I wanted to make sure that I named as many as I could tonight because their work is really, really very important to the city. You keep Geneva looking really gorgeous, and I really appreciate all of the hard work that you all put into it. So thank you again. Barry, can you come up here for a minute? Hard work, I want to tell you, I would be lost. So I thank you very much. Hopefully you'll enjoy it and put it in your garden and think of us every time.
I will. Thank you, thank you.
Picture.
Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for listening to all of the names and the people who are really instrumental and who have been instrumental in the past. I thank them all.
Thank you, Dorothy. Dorothy, would you like to make a motion to recognize the Geneva Beautification Committee volunteers?
I certainly would. Should I abstain, though?
No. Second by Alderman Singer, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
And if we could keep on, can we keep just rolling through these? I have like about another 20 pictures, I guess.
Absolutely.
We could try to do it faster.
We need the humor, right? The next item of business will be item D, presentation. Bless you. Presentation on city's overhead sewer grant program. Because he's yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That is.
That's not bragging rights when you're driving your friends into town.
No kidding.
Yes, very nice.
So does this mass exodus of people have anything to do with me?
Who doesn't want to talk about sewers?
I know.
Overhead sewers.
Yeah, there's something of a dichotomy.
You want the lobsters?
Sounds like fun.
I know. But on the other hand, I will take this flower because I feel like I did do something to the program because we do supply the water. So I feel that it's a great program, and probably at the beginning of it when you started doing the knuckles,
somewhere down,
I remember being a person that connected onto the water main to run your irrigation, and I tell you what, it is a beautiful, drive down State Street, and you guys have done a fantastic job over the years. So anything that the water department can do in the future to help you guys out is...
Oh, we're always looking for more irrigation.
That's, well...
But that's budget constraints, and we understand that. We understand.
I've always had a special place in my heart for what you folks have done.
Thank you.
So it does look fantastic.
You wouldn't believe how many people have actually stopped even at Air Days, gotten out of their cars and come into Air Days when Air Days was right on the corner and go, who does all the flowers? They look really great. And they're just driving through town. So it's really, commend my volunteers, I'll tell you, or the volunteers. And if you like, can you take that off now? I appreciate it. So we all can be seen.
Let's see if we can do this. Well, I wanted to come here tonight for a couple reasons, but one is to, show everybody, public and to you folks as far as what people can do to help themselves out as far as utilizing the overhead sewer grant program that we have in place. On April 18th, we did have a severe rainstorm in town that flooded a lot of people out, a lot of sewer backups. And it's one of those occasions to where within an hour we went from normal, type of situation in our sewer system to an overflowing situation within an hour. One that with our personnel, and I don't even think, even if we doubled the size of our personnel, we could have reacted in time to prevent any type of sewer backups in the city. So what we are explaining to people and what we want to get the message out is that there are ways for the public to help themselves out with the overhead sewer grant program that we have in place and have had in place since 2009. What you can do is to go onto the city's website, and I'm going to do that here. And just kind of instruct people in how to get to our website and also to find the overhead sewer grant program. If you click on the City of Geneva website page, you will come to the home page. And if you go over to City Departments, click on the City Departments. There's two ways to access the overhead sewer grant program from here. One would be to go to, once it pops up here, is to scroll down to the Public Works area, or you can go straight to the Water and Wastewater Division. If you click on the Water and Wastewater Division and scroll down, Right here is where the overhead sewer grant project or program is. If you click on there, it has all the details of our program. And if you want an overview of our program in general, it is right here. What we want to do is we want to help people. The simplest way to, I shouldn't say simplest way, but the best way to avoid any type of sewer backup is to go to an overhead sewer. And what this program does is it allows those folks who have been, have had sewer problems in the past, sewer backups due to capacity problems within the city due to excess rainfalls, you can receive a non-repayable grant of 50% of the improvement costs up to a maximum of $3,000. And there's some small details that are within the program to qualify. Mainly is that we want folks who have had sewer backups in the past just to kind of show us proof that they have had that, instead of somebody who just wants to do a improvement program to their home and wants to take advantage of it. The program is to allow those monies to be used. Excuse me. I'm just kind of freezing up here. Apologize. But I'll go ahead. Is to help those folks who have had sewer backups in the past. Really, all that you have to do is to show proof that you've had a backup. And then from there, what we want to do is set up an appointment with you so we can go into the home, do just a brief inspection. That inspection, all that it entails is making sure that you don't have any improper connections, such as a sump pump that is improperly connected. And from there, what we want you to do is get three quotes from a company to come in and provide that construction for the overhead sewer. That's the basis of the program. It is a way for you to, for any folks that have been affected by this, to prevent that sewer backup in the future. Now, what I want to go back and look at is, what's the difference between a typical residential sewer arrangement and the overhead sewer, so people kind of understand what the differences are. Let me back up here just for a minute. Thank you. The typical sewer basement or sewer arrangement that I think most people are accustomed to is that you have in the basement area, you're going to have something like a slop sink. You're going to have that floor drain down here. And the first place that sewer backup is going to affect you when the sewer main becomes overcapacitated is to back up from the sanitary sewer up into that floor drain or up into that slop sink and affect a finished basement, affect the furnace, items like that. So now there's other simpler ways that may be possible for a resident to help themselves instead of going with the overhead sewer grant would be to possibly put in just a check valve into the floor drain here or a standpipe. But you know what? Those really aren't the permanent fix. I can't guarantee that any of those are going to work, nor can I really guarantee that overhead sewer is going to work. But chances are that overhead sewer is going to give you the best possibility, 99.9% chance of not having a sewer backup. So when you look at this, what you're going to have from here is you're going to have your typical sump pump arrangement. So that sump pump is going to take your footing drains around your home and pump it outside. Okay. Now, if we go and we look at the overhead sewer arrangement, the difference that you're going to find, very minimal disruption on the first floor, main floor of your home. The piping is virtually going to stay the same. But what happens is that probably fairly near your sump pump area is where you're going to put in what's called an ejector pit. That ejector pit then is going to have replumbed. Your plumber will come in, or your construction person is going to come in, and he's going to take that slop sink. He's going to take your sanitary sewer from there, from that floor drain, put it into the ejector pit. So where, if you once during normal operations, even if you had a bathroom down here, once this becomes to a point like what your sump pump would, it will take the flow from there and eject it up into the what I would consider the main floor plumbing and eject that out. Okay. What this does is it protects the homeowner in this case of a sanitary sewer backup, because water will come up in its easiest capacity when we have a sewer backup. Where that's going to come up is within that floor drain or slop sink area. By doing this and bringing it out through an overhead application, you have this much of a buffer area for the system to not back you up, and to allow yourself that extra capability of being able to protect yourself. Now, you have to be smart about this, obviously, to where you know if you're in that type of area, maybe I shouldn't use my sewers even on the first level for a portion of a few hours during that heavy rainstorm, or 6 or 8 hours, or contact us to let us know your situation and if it's okay to discharge. But this allows you the best protection for sewer backups, and that's why we offer the grant. From there, I'll answer any questions that you folks may have.
Alderman Singer. Alderman Singer.
Thank you. The ejection system that functions electronically, does it not?
Correct, but it's like your sump pump, so it goes off of power and
okay, if you have a brownout in the area.
Correct, but the only flow that's going to come into there, into this ejector pit, would be from your slop sink or any groundwater that is coming into your sanitary sewer underneath there that would flow into that ejector pit. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't be taking any flow during a rainstorm from, let's say, excess flow from your sump pump or things like that. This is just the main floor or the basement floor. Anything from up above would still flow by gravity out to the main sewer.
Out to the main sewer. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you. If there was a restroom, bathroom down on the floor, would that be the same thing as your slop? Whatever you call
correct.
It.
Correct. Yeah, you just have to be wise and not be using your basement sewer or your basement bathroom at that time. You could eject it out. Now, I can't guarantee that it wouldn't come back in, but depending on what the flows are. But I know that the six or seven folks who, since 2009, who have taken advantage of the sewer grant program have not had an issue. So it is available, and it does work.
Alderman Bulgesberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Bob, I hope this isn't a stupid question, but how can a homeowner tell the difference between needing the overhead sewer system, or if the problem is that their pipes are more blocked? Would it be – because even that would happen during the rain, right?
True. It's really as simple as a phone call to us to say whether or not their home would have been affected by a rain event like what we had, to where we could investigate it and say, you know what, more than likely it was a caused by the city sewers backing up because we didn't have the capacity based on the amount of infiltration and rainfall that we had. Or it could be that it would be a recommendation by us to say, hire a plumber, come in and have them videotape and camera your sewer line to see if it was more roots that backed up your sewer line. So
start by asking you, and you could kind of get a feel for based on the symptoms of the flooding.
Correct.
Thank you.
Bob, do you have a cost estimate? Is there an average cost?
Sure. We've only had one person out of the six or seven that we've had, and I say six or seven because we're in working with those folks that are interested in the grant program. We've only had one that has exceeded the $3,000 matching program, so where their ultimate the overall cost was more than $6,000.
Alderman Bruno.
Thank you. For the backups, would it be difficult for your department to, during these heavy rain events, utilize our like email and Twitter feeds to notify residents of potential backup issues, to be judicious in their use of drains?
I'm sure it could help some folks, sure. Yeah, I can't say how many, but one person is obviously, you know, worth a tweet out there. There's no doubt.
Alderman Kilberg.
I appreciate you coming tonight and explaining the program. I think it's helpful, and I guess I had one question as it relates to it. If you had an area, let's say, in the community where you have an inherent problem, there are a few in our ward. If you had three or four neighbors, let's say, for instance, that would go to the overhead approach, will that inherently impact neighbors further upstream and potentially force water into basements that may historically not have had a problem previously? I'm just saying, if you make these modifications, are you sort of diverting the issue, or are you resolving the issue for a problem area that we might have in the community? I know it's hard to answer.
Yeah, it's hard.
I'm just understanding water.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to go somewhere.
Absolutely.
And I'm just thinking that.
I guess I just see it as. I just see it as a way to protect themselves.
Right.
I can't say whether or not it's going to affect their neighbors or not.
Yeah.
I would find it. I guess I can't answer that question. I haven't come across that in the past. I know.
Well, we haven't done enough of it. I mean,
right.
To really know, but.
Yeah,
if we targeted an area, for instance, that has inherently had a lot of issues, you had three or four homeowners that did this. I'm just wondering if you might be pushing it further upstream.
So good.
I think that possibility exists.
I can't argue that. It's hydraulics, and I guess it would just require more testing. But I just point this out as a way to protect those folks who have had it in the past.
And so. Some of the things that we're doing actually tonight on the agenda, we're making some upgrades to our sanitary sewer lines, and all these things, especially in some of these older neighborhoods, will certainly be helpful, I would think.
It will, yes.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
On to item 5A, recommend draft resolution authorizing bid award and contract to In-Situform Technologies USA LLC in the amount of $113,785 for the 2013 CIPP sanitary sewer lining.
So moved.
Seconded.
Motion by Singer, second by Kilberg. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Any questions on that? No. Item B, recommend draft resolution authorizing execution of a one-year contract with AID for the victim services assistance.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Vogelsberg, second by
As stated, the police department hopes to enter into this agreement with AID Victim Services. I think it'll enhance the services that we're able to provide the citizens of Geneva in a lot of very serious situations. I'm here to answer any questions that you may have about the program, but more importantly, the division director of this program is here, Joanne Furness, and she's graciously offered to be here tonight to be available to answer any of your questions specific to the program.
Alderman Bruno.
Actually, I guess this might be more for Officer Mexen. Are we presently making promises or offers of similar services through our police department? Or is this an additional layer of?
We've always tried to provide the best possible services we can to the public, but we often find that we are limited in our ability to address a lot of the root causes of the issues that we run into when we respond to an incident. Due to the nature of the incident or the complexity of the matter that a family may be dealing with, it's hard for us to really try to resolve the issue. And there's always been a gap between the police department, the citizens, and the social service agencies that may be better equipped and are oftentimes better equipped and better trained and more knowledgeable in these areas to help these people. So we do recommend services that are in the area, Tri-City Family Services, for example, the Ecker Center, Community Crisis Center. Okay. So we do offer them, but
it's not really in your playbook to formally. Yeah, it's
right.
A formalized thing.
We are limited,
sure.
But victim services would have the specialty available to handle these issues.
And do we have a sense of the volume or the number of households that we might estimate that might make use of these services?
Well, and just to give you an estimate, over the last 6 years, we've had a contract with Batavia, and we probably get called out about 80 to 90 times a year. Serving approximately 200 to 300 people. We currently serve the fire department in St. Charles and then North Aurora, the city of Aurora, Lombard, and the Sugar Grove Fire Department. And Chief Mexen was absolutely correct. I'm a former police officer myself. And what this program really is all about is when the officer goes there, he or she can make those referrals, can do all those things, but it's not really their place to go back the next day and check up on these individuals. It's not up to them to provide transportation if they say, I can't get a ride over to Mutual Ground. Who's going to watch my child when I go to Mutual Ground? And so what we're saying really is to save some of the money and let the officers be doing what officers are supposed to be doing, is to be going out there serving the public, looking into all of these things, and while we're doing more of the social work aspect, and not that the officers aren't doing that too, but then we're kind of doing the follow-up work so they can go back and respond to other more pertinent and things that are in progress.
Very good, thank you.
And if I could just add to that, some of the, they respond to a wide variety of serious issues that we encounter on a regular basis, such as chronic domestic violence issues, substance abuse issues, homelessness, families coping with traumatic events, such as a death that may have just occurred, whether it's natural or not natural. So a wide variety of things. And to give you an example of our calls, within the past year, we've responded to more than 225 domestic-related incidents. So those types of calls can always, you know, turn very bad. There's also oftentimes issues that we can see on the surface that we can't really address, but would be applicable to a service such as victim services. We had 32 child custody disputes in the last year, 31 neighborhood disputes. They also do neighborhood mediation, which we have tried to do on our own. Also, we'll assign an officer to a specific neighborhood where there's two neighbors feuding and try to work out a long-term solution. But that does take up a lot of valuable time. They can step in and do that as well. So they do a wide variety of things.
Thank you for the information.
Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you. I know there's a cost factor involved in this. Do you think that that cost factor is going to be more, or are you think that you're going to cover all of the incidences that we're talking about, or how is it going to work?
It's a flat fee.
Yeah, I know it's a flat fee, but is there no, what if for some strange reason there were more than the anticipated amount of incidences, there would still be a flat fee?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
And even when I go there and do the trainings, I always tell the officers, use us and abuse us, because it's whether, you know, you're going to pay the same amount whether you call us out once a month or whether you call us out 100 times a month. It's always going to be the same.
And it's important to note that they're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They'll come out if needed in the middle of the night and respond to the scene of a situation to start helping immediately.
And also half of our staff is bilingual, and that has come in very handy, too, depending on what the situation is to be able to translate.
Interesting.
Alderman Singer?
Yes, thank you. How is the program initiated? If I see that there is a conflict between two neighbors, do I initially call the police, and the policeman will come and see that there was a need for some form of negotiation and then recommend that negotiation? What's the process?
In different communities that we serve, it's really the protocol of that particular community. In some of them, once we go out there and we advertise, like I'll meet with the Exchange Club or you'll go out to different type of things like that, the schools, and they can call into our crisis line. We have a 24-hour crisis line that acts as our dispatch center, much just like the police and fire department have their dispatch center. So neighbors could call in, a church could call in, a school could call in. A lot of our call-outs that we've gotten in some of the communities has been to go to a school, maybe after a death of a teacher or a serious incident has happened at the school that we've gone there, maybe after a suicide of a student, those type of things. But the majority of the time it comes from the police department, that the police officer will be there and he or she will see that that's an incident that needs some type of follow-up, mm-hmm. and they will call into this 24-hour line and say if you could follow up with this family. We always tease the officers that if it's, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning and it doesn't need to be followed up with till the next day, maybe they could wait until the next day or shoot one of us at the email. But he's absolutely correct. We do respond 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, holidays, it doesn't matter. I have just an absolutely terrific, very, very devoted staff that even without threats of violence, they still go out there and do this.
So if a family is in need of this assistance, they can contact you.
Right, and then once we interact with the family, we refer to our cell phones as the bat phone.
Okay.
That the bat signal goes up, and they're given our cell phone number, mm-hmm. and they can contact us 24 hours a day. And I've never had a client abuse that. I worked with a mom that sadly had a SIDS death on Mother's Day several years ago, and for the next several nights called me at like 1 o'clock in the morning and at 4 o'clock in the morning because that normally would have been the time that she would have awakened to feed her baby. Mm-hmm. And that's where we kind of fill the gap, too, when it comes to like a social service agency and AID being one of them, that you usually can't get a hold of your case manager at 1 o'clock in the morning. You can't get a hold of them at 4 o'clock in the morning. That isn't usually within their parameters. And this young woman knew that there was somebody there that would talk to her. And after the first several days, I was highly recommending that she get sleep medication because I needed some sleep, too. But it was one of those things, too, to be able to work with her, to be able to refer her to grief groups, to get her into some type of counseling and to work with the family. We go with them to the funeral home if they want us to. We attend the wake, we attend the funeral when there's a death type situation.
And your phone number is that to be on the webpage?
It could be.
Oh, yeah, we would.
Yeah. I hope not my cell phone, but.
Very good, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Joanne. Thank you, Chief. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Yeah, which is so uncharacteristic.
Yeah.
Item C, recommend draft resolution authorizing bid award and contracts for annual purchase of transformers and switchgear.
So moved.
Mike?
Second.
Alderman Flanagan, second Marks. Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Item D, recommend draft resolution authorizing bid award and contracts for annual purchase of cable.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mark, second by Singer. Comments, questions? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Item E, recommend draft resolution rejecting the January 31, 2013 bids for the third level of the commuter parking facility.
So moved. So moved.
Motion by Singer, second by Vogelsberg. Comments or
questions?
Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mary, any indication when the new bids will be presented or available?
We're going to rebid it this summer.
Summer.
It'll be, yeah, sometime this summer. We're going to run the specs through Metra.
Right.
Indications are at this point that they're working hard for us to try to get that additional funding.
So hopefully the outcome looks favorable.
Looks favorable, and we get the additional funding that we need to move the project forward. And the construction would be next spring.
Next spring. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Alderman. Mary, could you give a brief rundown on why it's being rejected for people?
The bids came in a little over $1 million more than what we had budgeted and what Metra had approved a grant for. It was based on an estimate. The actual bids came in higher. There was quite a gap between when the estimate was done and when we got the final approval on the grant funding. So by the time that the actual bid was let and we received the bids, there was a difference of about $1 million in what we had budgeted and the lowest bid that we received. So we immediately contacted Metra and the UP and RTA, working with them to try to get the additional funding. They indicated that they were willing to work for additional funding, but in conjunction with that, they've asked that we reject the bids and start over.
Thank you, Mary. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Item F. Recommend approval of request by Multisport Madness Kids, Inc. for the triathlon on May 26, 2013.
So moved.
Motion by Kilberg.
Second.
Second by Marks. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Item G, recommend approval of request by Tour de Cure for use of 4 Water Street public parking spaces on June 9, 2013.
So moved.
Second.
Who had the motion? Sorry.
These microphones are so loud that I can't even get real close to it.
And second, Singer. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes. Item H, recommend draft resolution supporting CMAP assistance for planning regarding multi-community housing plan and authorize execution of memorandum of understanding between the City of Geneva and CMAP for planning assistance.
So moved.
Volgersberg, second by Mobadra. Dick, go ahead.
Yes, good evening. I just wanted to emphasize a few points. It's been since back in 2007 that it's been a goal of the City Council to formulate a plan and strategy to define and address existing and future housing conditions in the city. And then more recently, about 2 years ago, the Geneva Housing Task Force was formed and started delving into this project and to discussions on housing needs in the city. The historic focus of housing and housing affordability in the city has largely been focused on affordable senior housing.
Right.
And there have been past efforts over, going back, I think, at least 20 years a desire on the part of the city to develop a project for that would provide affordable senior housing units. In looking at this, the Geneva Housing Task Force feels that it's important that we look more broadly at our entire situation and look at housing needs for various age groups and various income groups and really develop a comprehensive perspective before attempting to engage in any activities that would encourage or foster any particular type of housing. So with that in mind, we've been looking for a way to do a comprehensive study in the city. Unfortunately, going out to do this work, we've gotten estimates anywhere from $40,000 to $60,000 to do a comprehensive analysis like this. And so in looking for ways of getting this done, we came across some opportunities that the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning had put forth now almost a year and a half ago to assist communities that focus on housing as well as land use, community facilities, energy, parks and open space, education, workforce, a number of different topics that are in the adopted go-to 2040 regional plan. And housing is a big part of that plan's recommendations, ways of opening up opportunity for housing and housing affordability. So I reached out to several of our nearby municipalities, Batavia, North Aurora, and St. Charles, and asked them if they'd be interested in participating in some kind of community housing plan, because these issues that we deal with, you know, the foreclosure crisis, the real estate market, the general nature of housing in this country is really impacted across municipal corporate lines. The problems and issues really don't start and stop there. So what we did is we gained the support from the three other municipalities and submitted an application to CMAP, and that application was approved. And so we are now positioned to move forward with the preparation of this multi-community housing plan. It is prepared at no cost to the municipalities involved. I've given you a lot of information in the packet, but the scope of work is quite detailed. It runs through a classic process of data gathering and then data analysis, and then a workshopping process where each one of the four participating municipalities is involved in a community workshop in that municipality. And the idea is to bring all stakeholders, all interested folks and organizations that want to really talk and discuss housing in the community and discuss their ideas and suggestions on how we move forward as a community in addressing our housing needs. That workshop is held, and then based on the data analysis and the workshop outcomes, a draft plan is presented, then that's vetted and discussed in public forums, and then adjustments are made, and ultimately a final plan is prepared. I brought along with me a copy of the most recent one that's been prepared, and this is year six of the Homes for a Changing Region program. It is that methodology that we'll be using to prepare this multi-community housing plan. These communities that participated in this one were Arlington Heights, Buffalo Grove, Mount Prospect, Palatine, and Rolling Meadows. And this is a data-rich process that's used to formulate the plans. So rather than thinking more globally, oh, we need affordable senior housing in Geneva, this takes that and really explodes it into all different age groups, all different income groups, and quantifies the needs. Is your housing supply meeting a particular income group's housing affordability, or is it not? And so I don't want to get into all the detail of this, but suffice to say, this is an opportunity to move forward on a strategic plan objective that's been in place for some time, and it's a way to get it done at no cost, no direct cost to the citizens of Geneva. There are a number of groups, the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus, the Metropolitan Planning Council, and CMAP itself that will be engaged in this process. CMAP has formed a memorandum of understanding with the Kane County Development Department, and Kane County Development Department staff will be engaged in the technical analysis portion of this project, along with, in our case, the Geneva Housing Task Force, as well as staff. I will be serving as project coordinator for the multi-community project, and work is scheduled to start in July and take about a year to complete. So we're really asking for passage of the resolution to accept CMAP assistance to do this project.
Thank you, Dick. Alderman Singer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Unsch, I just absolutely want to commend you on the effort and the manner in which you've been able to achieve this program. I think everyone on the council and in the city of Geneva is aware of my position that I've taken on obtaining forms of housing here for those that are in need. And my hope and pray that you are the one that's going to bring this program forward. And I'm very excited about it. And I thank you so much for your effort.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes unanimously. On to new business. Do we have any new business?
I do have one important item, and we have guests with us to help broadcast this important item. Ladies, do you want to join us at the podium? June 8th, right, Sharon? June 8th is Go Day, a national Get Outdoors Day.
Jumping here, right? All right, we're sitting back here.
Did you know that?
Friends of the River Park. And we've got Mary Lou O'Halloran, as you know, and Teresa Ellis. And we were just talking about how we three go back to the strategic plan from 1996. So we've been working together. Mary Lou was on the youth and senior committee. Teresa and I were on the Cultural Arts Committee that wrote the Cultural Arts Commission bylaws, started it. And here we are, 96 years later, still working for the city. And I just want to show you the picture here. If you've been down to the River Park the last few weeks, you'll see that it's totally blackened.
Could I ask you to speak into the microphone, please?
Yeah,
that's for the people
thanks.
At home. Thank
okay.
you.
But I would like to encourage you to come to Go Day, June 8th, Saturday afternoon from 1 to 4. All the citizens of Geneva and the Tri-Cities are invited. It's the first one in this area, and you're thinking, okay, what's this stuff? You know, Go Day, what's that? So I kind of heard about it a year ago, you know, and so some of our River Park board were sitting around, how can we get more people to come down to the River Park of Geneva, this native landscape setting, and bring them to the amphitheater for the programs that the Cultural Arts Commission of Geneva sponsors during the summer series. And everybody was sitting around. Mary Zander had to leave earlier, but we're all brainstorming, how can we get people to go there? Duh, Go Day, okay. So this is what started a year ago, and I tell you, it is really taking off. We're going to really have fun, and so I thought, okay, what should we do? Well, I'll go to the Cultural Arts Commission and Tim Vitang and the board and say, would you sponsor an additional performance at the amphitheater this summer, but in addition to the three programs that are scheduled already for the summer series? And they said, absolutely, you know, Go Day, Get Outdoors Day, connect nature and the arts. So that's what we're doing. So you have in front of you a big brochure that itemizes the activities. We are Oh, the artists that are coming are unbelievable. We've got Nan Waterstreet, who's a teacher at Western Avenue School that's very, very well known. Al Ochsner is coming to do his leaf rubbings with the kids. And we have, Suzanne Massion, a plein air painter. The Geneva Art Guild is coming, Lorraine Ochsner and some reps from there. So it's going to be just a fabulous day. Mary Lou O'Halloran is working with Lynn Bielenfeld at the Art Box, and she has the Art Club students, 9 of them, coming to work sketching with kids. So that's what it's about. And, you know, Go Day, like, you know, what is it? You know, get outdoors. It started with that very famous book that all of you have heard of, Last Child in the Woods, that was popularized by Love, L-O-U-V. And so then it was followed by the No Child Left Inside Act, that the federal. So this is a national Get Outdoors Day that is incorporated by all of your public park systems. It's the U.S. Army Corps, the Forest Service, the Chicago Wilderness, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and the Geneva Cultural Arts Commission. So we are really pleased. Thank you, Kevin, for letting us be here tonight to make a formal announcement and invitation to citizens to come down for Get Outdoors Day. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you very much.
Next time, a little enthusiasm, please.
Oh, listen, go to this website. Laura Zazuli does our websites for us. Okay. Riverparkofgeneva.com. You'll see all of the pictures, the flyers about it, and all of the other stuff.
I just tweeted it.
Oh, geez, I haven't learned how to do that, Mike. Show me. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Mary Lou?
Do I have to step
Yep.
Yes, you do.
Come out of the darkness, Mary Lou, into the light.
Sounds like a song.
Working with Sharon is always quite an adventure, and I just want to show you this. This is how it got started. Go Day is 6 years old in the United States. This is our first Go Day. But when Sharon asked different ones of us to participate, we had to do our homework, and I have a stack this big of the research on why going outside is good for everybody, all of us adults, because we're so involved with texting and Twitter and Facebook, and why watching you all tonight made me laugh. And the emotional, psychological, health benefits, all the research is telling us, as a community, we want to continue to promote which we do, like Peck Farm and all the wonderful things we do. But we've encouraged, and we will encourage everyone who comes to Go Day, that when you're traveling to go to St. Charles or Batavia and you have a few minutes, and I was telling the high school students this on Saturday, de-stress yourself. Stop off at the River Park. It's right here, and it's one of those places even women can go and be safe because the condominiums are right there. And you can just sort of collect yourself when you're having a really bad day. I go there quite a bit just to meditate and take it in. And when you see the river in all the different phases, even on a very rainy day or a snowy day, the river park really is a place to go. I'm not a part of the River Park group. I just support their effort. And I don't know if you all realize that they won a recognition as one of the finest pristine restorations of a prairie, of a park of its kind in the United States. They also won an award. So I'm asking you tonight to really support the efforts of getting our citizens to all our parks, but especially this park. This is a very unique park that was built by citizens. When they took me down there years ago to look at it, I couldn't understand their vision. I watched it. Mary McKittrick helped. There's people sitting here who helped with it. And to see this vision come alive by citizens, by their own hard work, I just would encourage you to help other people to go down there. You yourselves, when you're having good days, bad days, de-stress yourself and go to the River Park. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other new business? Alderman Flanagan.
With that big presentation, I forgot to mention that this coming Saturday is our summer planting, and starts at 8 o'clock in the morning. And those of you who have gardens who are out there and are still listening, go to your gardens. But other than that, if you want to come and contribute your time and effort and plant a couple of flowers, come down to the post office at 8 o'clock in the morning, and there's always a garden or two that needs some help. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Anything else? Our next regularly scheduled City Council meeting will be May 20th, Monday, May 20th, followed by Committee of the Whole meeting on Tuesday, May 28th. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Marx?
Second.
Second by Bruno. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Meeting adjourned.